Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Startup Podcast, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. This week, welcoming in Jason Kelly from Drifter Events. He's another of the Velocity Southern Indiana Accelerator Program. He's not a native Louisvillian, although he intimated to me that he likes it enough here. They're a Kentucky LLC. They may stick around for a while. Glad to hear that because he's a smart guy. He sort of accidentally found himself as founder of this cool events company for active people, I should say. After actually having started another business accidentally that he jumped out of to do this. And we actually talk about how it's even possible for him to resuscitate the business that he was in before. It has something to do in the pet industry, which, of course, we all love our pets and we'll all take care of them no matter what, no questions asked. So it's a great conversation with Jason, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much for making the Startup Podcast a part of your business week. You know, it's something I really enjoy doing, and I've gotten to know so many very smart, cool people around town that are doing great things, and it's exciting to be part of. If you want to support the show and keep this thing going, why, first and foremost, share this stuff with your friends, whether it's a retweet of whatever I post, at Dan Vonderhyde on Twitter, or at Louisville.am, all the way spelled out, or in an email, or however you choose to share. You can sponsor the show, contact me at contact@louisville.am, or of course you can always subscribe in the Stitcher Radio app or in the iTunes store, leave behind a review, let me know how we're doing. If you got any guests that you might suggest that I have on, or if you have something to say yourself about the startup community, if you're working in something, you've invested in something, and you think you can carry a conversation with me, well, that'd be awesome. Drop me a line any way you can get a hold of me, at Dan Vonderhyde on Twitter or at contact@louisville.am. Thanks again for listening. Here's my conversation, Jason Kelly from Drifter Events on the Startup Podcast. You guys just do a lot of running around, right?
Yes, a ton of it.
Oh, I'm talking about your own events, not just running around.
Yeah. this year, we're doing the Urban Bike Adventure, which is in 17 cities this year. So it's cross country.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about each of those events individually.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. All right, go down the list and then we'll talk about them. But I certainly want to talk about how this whole company came into existence, on how you thought, hey, look, there are people that do things.
Yep.
And then how you're working on that whole model.
So let's see, in 2011, just came about as an idea. I've done a lot of triathlons, biking, running races, but nobody was really having fun. You know, these are great.
Who has fun running 26 miles?
Yeah,
I often wonder that myself.
These are like hardcore training. You know, you're spending, you know, 6 months out of your year just training to do one event, or, you know, even if you're doing a 5K, a lot of these people are first time 5K runners.
Right.
They're spending a lot of time just trying to work up the courage to do it.
I did. I told my wife when we were sitting around chatting, it was a couple of weeks ago. I said, listen, I just don't foresee a point in my life where I'm ever interested in running even a half marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. It's a different mentality for.
Yeah. You have to be ready to do it. And a lot of these people, you know, they're like, I want to run one half marathon in my entire life. You know, and they spend 30 years planning it. Did they finally do it? So there was really no, I mean, there are a few races, especially now it's kind of blown up, but that are like more geared towards fun, getting friends together. Mm-hmm. But at the time there was nothing really going on in the bike world. And the story really isn't a whole lot right now. So this is the first event that was dreamed up. That's the Urban Bike Adventure.
I was going to ask you that.
Yep. And that started in 2011.
Describe that.
So this is an amazing race on bikes, basically. So you're going through the city, you're completing checkpoints and challenges, taking pictures. It's a team event.
Okay.
So really similar to what you've seen on TV, mm-hmm. but geared towards the city. A lot of local stops. You're discovering things around the city that you've never seen before, hopefully. We would really try to find, you know, certain spots. Take here in Louisville, for example, like, you know, you've never been to like the home where, you know, Muhammad Ali was born or something like that.
Right.
You know, everyone knows he's from here, but maybe they could discover that part, you know, little
sure.
things like that. Then we try to incorporate local businesses and charities, you know, stopping at a local yoga studio to do one of these challenges that they have to complete. And then once they're done, you know, they head to the next challenge.
Okay. So is that a revenue stream to tie in local business? Is there like some sponsorship sort of something there?
No, right now those are just partnerships just to help help us. They, you know, they get out the word for us because, you know, they've already got
it's a marketing vehicle.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And in return, you know, we give them some, you know, potential customers, hopefully. And then, you know, people get to discover. They're like, oh, I never knew there was a gym over here. I never knew that there was a donut shop over here. You know, something, whatever they're going to stop at.
And you just got back from Florida from doing the first one of these?
First one for this year.
Okay.
So this is, we just kicked off 2014. So this will be our fourth year doing the Urban Bike Adventure.
In how many markets?
17 cities this year.
Oh, wow. Is that growth over last year or what?
Yes.
All right, I'm stop this. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning.
No worries.
Okay. Where did all of this begin other than you recognizing that nobody was having fun running a marathon?
Yep. Began
what year?
2011 as a hobby. I just wanted to.
Here in Louisville?
Actually in Tampa.
So okay, gotcha.
I just recently moved from Tampa about 6 months ago here to Louisville.
Okay, see, that's how unprepared I am today.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. So you were in Tampa over the last week?
Yes.
Or over the weekend?
Yes.
All right.
Correct.
Cool enough.
Yep. So that was, we did six cities in 2011. Basically, I had just wrapped up.
How did you know how to do it?
I didn't. It was fly by see the pants. I was running my own company at the time as a dog walking and pet sitting business.
Okay.
So completely different than this. So this was a...
It's fitness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're walking, you're moving.
Exactly.
You're outdoors.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with customer service too much, just dogs, right?
That's right.
So that's the dream.
You're literally picking up after other
people. Exactly. Yep.
Some things never change no matter what you're doing.
Yep, and it became just like a vehicle to travel almost. I was like, oh, where do I want to go see, you know, San Francisco or whatever.
Yeah, Austin.
All right, let's go out there, you know, and let's put a race on out there. So it's an excuse to go out there.
But did you, after your first one, which could not have been easy to do,
mm-hmm.
you have to figure out a course, you're having to figure out what resources you need, what, I mean, are you going to sell tickets? How are you going to make money? All that stuff. After your first one, do you have a formula?
Oh, so after the first one, I, you know, obviously learned a whole lot because, you know, I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have done that differently. Or, oh, that worked really well. There's mostly a lot of, wish I would have done that differently.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big race. I think we had 400 people and that was in Minneapolis. This is the very first race.
It's not bad.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
But we were like, we weren't expecting that many people and, you know, that many people in one spot, especially with bikes. So, you know, 400 people looks like about 1,000 because there's so many bikes around. And those are just...
That's 800 wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And that's if it's the...
Quick math.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, unless they have a trike, I guess. Then
well,
a few, yeah, just throw a little wrench
in
there.
That's in the rules.
Yeah. You can race on any bike.
Okay, good. Scooter? Can I use a scooter?
No, it has to be pedal-powered.
Gotcha.
So if it's a pedal-powered scooter, then yes, you'd be okay.
Okay.
But that'd be probably pretty heavy, and you'd take forever to finish the race.
I'm talking about like a Razor scooter.
Oh,
a
Razor scooter? No. Yeah. So it's got to be a bicycle, so some kind of pedaled vehicle.
2011 Minneapolis, 400 people, learning experience.
Yep.
Then what happened?
So we learned, started... knew I had to plan like certain things. You know, I knew about the course, the ticketing, you know, how to get that stuff handled just by doing some of these events.
What agencies you had to work with? I would think there's some red tape you got to deal with.
Yeah, it depends on each city. If you want to do an event in like San Francisco or like New York City, you know, you get five people together in the same room and you have to have a permit and then pay taxes on it. So, you know, we stay away from those cities now.
Yeah, sure.
Because we want, you know, the easiest cities to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it all comes down to, you know, how many people you're going to have in one certain area. If you just got to let, sometimes you just have to let, like, the fire department know or the police department know.
Okay.
Sometimes you don't have to let them know at all unless you get up to, like, you know, 1,000 people or whatever in one area.
I guess, is it everything, it's not, I'm imagining a road race where there's mm-hmm. a course. Things are roped off, and you're closing streets, and like, is there any of that going on?
Nope, it's a completely open course. So you think about, you get a clue sheet at the beginning of this race, and you have no idea what these clues are. You have to decipher them. Some are, you know, ciphers. Some are picture clues or whatever, and you have to figure out where you're going. So you map your own route, and you can go anywhere you want first. You don't have to follow any of the clues in order. So whatever works best for you, whichever checkpoint you want to go first, whichever checkpoint you want to go last.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
All right. So then, you moved, what was your second city then?
Oh, let's see. The second city, I believe, was Indianapolis.
Oh, so, good town. I'm a Hoosier.
Yeah. So, you know. Yeah, I actually went to high school in Indianapolis, Shelbyville, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Very good. I went to Ball State University.
Okay.
Now, so.
All right. I have a lot of friends that went to Ball State.
Yeah, they're fine people. I guarantee it. So, all right, Indy was cool, and but this is all the same event, the Urban Bike Adventure, right?
Correct.
Do you have new events that you're doing on top of that?
Yes.
Different concepts?
So that basically has led up to last year, the end of last year, where I decided, you know, I wanted to make this a full-time business to, you know, just as this is it. Like,
what were you doing before?
So before I was doing the dog walking business.
Oh, yeah, duck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry.
Yep. And stopped that in 2012. So 2012, 2013 was kind of, do I want to do this, the urban bike adventure for like work? Okay. So just trying to, you know, make it work. And I started to realize that I need maybe a little bit more of a portfolio of events, not just one event, because it's hard to market one event. But if I had maybe two or three events going on, I could cross market my own events instead of having to maybe pay for somebody, you know, buy some ads like at another race or a table at an expo. Why not just market my own events? You know, I already have participants coming. Why don't I get them to do some of my other events?
Yeah.
So this year we're launching the Great American Chase, which is it's similar to the Urban Bike Adventure, but it's all running. So it's all on foot. And it's basically a 5K amazing race scavenger hunt. Yeah. So really similar concept. But this one's going to be all American themed. We're going to have costume contest, you know, best dressed president, you know, those kind of things.
Oh,
like
my
that.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get a lot of costume contests or costumes at the Urban Bike Adventure. So this one, we're going to have all the costumes, or, you know, it's really going to be up to the participants, but just like America themed and stuff like that. So we have, it's really fun.
July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
Can I assume?
Yeah. Just crazy.
Is that when this thing is? Is July 4th weekend?
Yeah. So this is going to be around the country as well, too.
Oh,
this is
going to
be in another 12 cities, and then we're going to have a championship race in DC.
But you're doing all of these events individually. So are you managing them all yourself and running these whole things?
Right now, yes. So I just hired my girlfriend. So she's she just quit her she just quit her 9-to-5. She was working for an online school.
Okay.
Doing financial aid and missions with them, and now she's working with me. So she's great at organizing. I'm horrible at organizing. I'm great at organizing races, but organizing everything else on the back end,
accounting and whatnot.
Yep. So she's going to be great with that, keeping me in order. She's going to be the keeper of the order, basically.
Yeah.
And then also bringing on another friend from Virginia. She used to be a radio DJ
down in
Tampa.
Okay.
So she's going to be handling the marketing aspect.
Smart hire.
Marketing, yep. Social media, all that stuff.
Okay.
Which I'm terrible at.
So this is all recently, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, well, let's go back a little bit further and let's talk about you. You grew up in Shelbyville.
I grew up actually everywhere. So I was born in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And my dad was in the Navy, so I got moved around quite a bit, like as a child.
Okay.
Ended up in Florida for a while. High school in Indiana at Shelbyville.
Yeah.
Go Golden Bears.
I didn't know that was their mascot.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Went to college in Minnesota. I was a voice major at McNally Smith.
There you go.
School
That's why the first race was in Minnesota.
Yeah. So friends, you know, really good friends there. That was the base of the first year of races too. Cities that I knew. People in Indiana, obviously.
So you were training to be a singer?
Yes, correct.
Oh.
So I was a voice major.
When you got out of school, was the work for that so limited that you just decided to walk dogs instead? Or was that sort of opportunity like, hey, look, man, people are going to pay me to walk dogs, and I'd rather do that than go punch a clock somewhere?
Yeah, that actually kind of is how it happened. So I graduated in Minnesota, and I figured I didn't know what to do. You know, I was singing in a few bands at the time or whatever, but I didn't really know if I was going to just do that, if I was going to be a rock star. You know, obviously.
My band, we crammed about 275 in a Gerstles last weekend.
Nice.
It was awesome.
That's awesome,
baby.
Yeah.
Sideshow John knows how to do it.
That's awesome. Well, so I didn't have that much success. So, I figured I might as well go for some more school. Start looking, you know, as in Minnesota, looking for a little temperature change.
Sure.
So I was thinking California maybe, like just way too expensive to live out there. Yeah. So decided on Tampa, applied to University of South Florida, Got accepted there.
Okay.
So started going there. And
to do what?
That was for music composition, actually. So okay. I was going to continue music. I was going to maybe try to turn it into either like a music business degree or...
Okay.
You know, actually, I had no, you know, true plans, you know.
It's fine. Look, I've had a musician on this podcast before because how the... If you're going to go on your own and you're going to make a living at music, you're an entrepreneur, man.
Yep.
I mean, you're managing your own brand and you've got to run this business. So we've talked about that. It was one of the first episodes we did almost 2 years ago. But, I mean, I'm trying to dig at your mentality of, I just want to do my own thing.
Yeah. I can really identify with that.
Is that you as a creative person?
Yeah, I think mostly? So. And, you know, when I was in college, I was managing the one big punk rock band that we had, you know, that we were actually playing like college shows and, you know, making money. This is actually money to, you know, pay rent a little bit.
Yeah.
So that aspect actually made me excited to like try to book these shows, you know, manage the band. So I kind of definitely...
It's great work for somebody who doesn't pay attention to detail, dude.
Yeah.
What did we settle on for the price here? I didn't write that down.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're correct when you say it's, you know, that whole managing yourself, your brand, your band, you know, is almost like managing a business is what it came down to.
Right.
And that was really exciting at the time. And but at the same time, I wasn't making very much money and I was probably not going to make rent if I kept doing it just because it's a tough industry.
It is. And especially these days with the, you know, technology making it so difficult for the cream to rise to the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for people to actually make a living in music.
Yep.
As opposed to 20 years ago when, you know, it was just different. I mean, now it's just, there's stuff all over the place. It's impossible to almost build an audience.
There is, and it's hard to get, you know, those ears to hear you or the right, you know, that right person to hear you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I figured, you know, I'm gonna just go for music composition. Maybe eventually it'll happen. And then this idea came of, you know, dog walking like in bigger cities. So, you know, there was going on in Minneapolis, in Chicago.
Chicago is a big deal.
Like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Tampa, there was really nothing going on there. So I'm like, all right, I'll just do this. I was working as a lifeguard during college. So I was a lifeguard and then trying to get my another music degree. And then started doing this. And then it just started snowballing. Just started getting like one or two clients a week. Next thing you know, I had 30 or 40 clients. And this is almost a 40-hour job, you know, 40 hours a week job.
Sure.
And then I got more, and then I needed to start hiring people. And then
unbelievable.
I didn't know it was going to be so lucrative either. Walking dogs, you're going to get paid so well. And I was like, this is most
people
money
love
I've
their
ever.
Pets, yeah, man, and they'll pay for them too.
This is the most money I ever had. Like I have $1,000 this week, you know, something like that.
I mean, it's crazy. People will pay almost anything for their pets to be happy or healthy or whatever it is, you know. It's great industry. Maybe you should go back.
I know. Well, I think about it too. But
you didn't find that to be scalable, though. I mean, to a point where you would be interested in doing like figuring out how to make that into a nationwide franchise.
Yeah. So I did. I did dabble into it a few times. Had some friends and family from Orlando that wanted to kind of do the thing. So they started up their like own little branch. Same thing in like St. Petersburg.
Same brand.
It was the same brand. Yeah. But I had, you know, at the same time, I was just like making it up as I go along. So, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I needed to hire people and this is like a big failure. I was hiring people just because I needed warm bodies. I needed people to walk dogs. I wasn't really getting into it. Like,
I know
hiring
that's
correctly.
A nice problem to have. Though,
yeah.
Man. I mean, if you're growing that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now through this velocity stuff and the lean launch pad and all that. Nice to have something to fall back on.
Yeah, I wish I would have seen that. Like,
not too late.
Yeah, back in 2005, man. I'm taking over the world with my dog walking
business.
That's right. Yeah. But I recognized probably in around 2011, 2012 that the business wasn't going to go unless I was there. Okay. So anytime I stepped back, like when I would do these traveling events and I'd leave, you know, there'd be really no growth. You know, nobody was as invested as I was. So, you know, I was married to the dog walking business. And the thing that really got me up in the morning was kind of the business side. You know, I'm a big pet lover, but it's difficult to take care of other people's pets all the time when you have your own. and you're like, oh man, I wish I could just stay home right now instead of having to walk dogs, stay home and just work on the business stuff. Because all I wanted to see was the business grow, but at the same time, I had to like work in the trenches, and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that.
You were working in your business, not on your business, yes. As they say.
Yep.
That they have made that up.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you started doing these events, and you saw some sort of quick growth there.
Yeah, so after the first year.
And again, you're still having to manage all these events.
Yep.
You know, same sort of deal, right?
Exactly. And so that's what I'm trying to get away from now.
You're working on?
Yeah, not have to go to every single event. Because right now, you know, the scalability is hard because I can only go to a certain amount of events. And then, you know, I can only travel so much a year.
Right.
So it's going to be impossible if we just want to have an event every single day of the year. And I wanted to travel every single day of the year, but then that'd be it, even if that could happen.
Well, it's also conceivable to have multiple events every day of the year.
Yep.
If you figure out how to, you know.
And that's what we're doing.
Get hands around that.
Yep. With hiring right now, have other, you know, the race directors there on the day of. So we can, like you just said, run multiple events like on a weekend. You know, on a Saturday, we can have two or three events going on, if not more.
So you've been at Velocity for a couple of months now? Is it 2 months?
Just a month now.
That's it?
Yep, just a month. So we started January 6th.
Was the Lean Startup deal new to you? Completely new until somebody said, hey, you should check this out?
No, I started, listening to podcasts and hearing about the Lean Startup in late 2012.
Okay.
And so I was already making revenue. So, and I didn't go through, you know, the customer discovery process, you know, the value proposition stuff. I just kind of found that out either on accident or, you know, just like they said, you know, I went with.
You just put a name on what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just did it. You know, if I would have known I didn't do as much research probably as I should have to start out. Well, according to Lean Startup, you know, I wouldn't take back what I did at all. But because obviously you're going to find your answers no matter what. It's just, are you going to lose a lot of money finding your answers, or are you going to, you know, start actually growing a business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has changed? I mean, have you gotten in there and you had all these ideas and then you're finding out, ooh, I was wrong about that. What's one thing you were wrong about? Are you willing to share that?
Yeah. So I really thought, well, starting these events that, you know, it was going to actually be like triathletes and, you know, Ironman. They're going to be like, oh, they're going to want to come to these events and they're going to want to win them and race them. Found out really soon that wasn't it. You know,
nobody wants to mess up their $150 shoes.
Yeah. And they don't see these events as competition. The core of our audience are like adventure seekers, you know, they're kayakers and they're, you know, they run maybe, but they do it for fun. They go to run clubs and they just want to hang out afterwards and grab some food and a beer and stuff like that.
Okay. Are they younger?
Yes. So, okay. Or they're at least younger at heart. I mean, we'll have like 15, 60-year-old, 70-year-old people, but you know, they're faster than me. They run faster, bike faster than me, or, you know, they're younger than me at heart and they could drink more beer, you know.
Events seem to be a big, they're just kind of a thing these days with the Tough Mudders and the, you know, those adventure course things.
Yes.
They just, man, those things came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, five or six different ones going on. It's hard to tell them apart.
Yeah.
I guess. So do you find yourself, I don't know, riding that sort of wave? I mean, or is it a challenge for you to rise above that noise and say, look, this is different. This is not an adventure course where you're going to pound a beer and then jump through the mud or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, you know, all of our events are really based on experience. So we want the, you know, participants to be really social. Right now they're all team events. So it's a little different than, you know, a typical maybe run, even if it's a mud run, you might do it with a bunch of people, but this is really,
oh, that pack's going to separate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people are gonna be faster than others.
That's right.
It's just naturally. But here, you know, you have to actually work together as a team to finish these, you know, tasks. So we're a little different that way. And then we're really geared towards the urban core of the city. So we're being, like with the Urban Bike Venture, bike advocates. You know, we want to show off the city because a lot of people are afraid, even here in Louisville, to bike downtown, even though there's bike lanes and maybe there's the infrastructure that's being built like around the waterfront or the Big Four Bridge, if that ever opens, hopefully.
Well, you mean on the other side?
Yeah, on the other side, yeah. But
let's go, Indiana. Yeah, we're pulling for you.
Trying to show off those things where people shouldn't be afraid to like get out of their city, you know, get out of the cars and be able to walk around the city or bike around the city. So it comes
Well, the parks in Louisville, too, are outstanding.
Yeah.
For that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's Cherokee Park. It's beautiful. Yeah. And same thing, waterfront and hanging out at Iroquois. So we're just trying to show off those things. And we try to replicate that in every single city. That way, you know, it sets itself apart by, you know, there's not too many urban races. You know, if you go do a 5K or a mud run, you know, they're usually out in some park somewhere because they have to have the police support and those roads closed and everything, you know, which is a lot of money for one. And then they're all doing it in the same area just because that's the only place like the city will allow them, or that's the only place where it's feasible to, you know, spend that money. And they, you know, the more roads you close off, the more money it's going to be, or the more headache it's going to be.
Is your revenue just derived solely from participation?
Participation and sponsorship. Okay. And we're actually branching out into some merchandising this year as well. So trying to sell some t-shirts. And
is that new from Velocity, where you're like, hey, look, we could sell shirts?
We've had that idea. I guess what's new for from Velocity is we're going to start launching some corporate events. So partnering with, you know, some of the large corporations. We're going to start that here in Louisville, you know, try to...
I guess you could do some team building stuff too.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, some... Because our events naturally right now are team building events. You know, their experiences, you know, where families come out or friends. For better or worse, hopefully it's for better that they, you know, grow and they're excited when they finish. Yeah. They didn't fight the whole time, which usually isn't
the
case.
That's what they do on TV.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's, you know, that's produced.
Yeah, it makes good TV.
I decided long ago that my wife and I would never do anything like that.
Do you not fight enough? You should just fight all the time, right? And then you could be on the shows.
Yeah, I just like the peace and harmony that we've seen somehow found.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
So you'd be boring TV. And
I'd be, it'd be, we'd be awful.
Nobody would watch. You'd probably win, though, and that's the thing.
But there wouldn't be a lot of verbal acrimony. There would be a whole lot of eye rolling and dirty looks. That's how we communicate.
Yeah.
I've got to learn to keep my mouth shut on these podcasts about my marriage. I think this is the third one in a row that I've been on that I've said something about. Oh, sorry, sweetheart.
You've already said harmonious, so I think you made up for it.
Okay. Peace.
So, yeah. So, team building, really geared towards some of these companies that have, you know, like a rich culture, like inside the company.
Yeah.
That way they can, you know, this could be a reward, or, you know, instead of just going out and going bowling with the company, you know, something boring, why not like do something really interactive and fun?
Well, and physical.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, how often is it where at the end of the week, you had a big week, you had a big win, you had a big month or whatever, and you're sitting around eating nachos and pounding down Budweisers.
Oh, definitely.
I sit in this room and produce podcasts all week. And
yeah.
I will say I got a sweet new pair of shoes this morning. I mean, high dollar shoes.
Yeah.
I worked out a deal for those things. I can't wait to go try them out. It's because I live this sedentary lifestyle, which is a humongous problem for this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there. I don't know what that is. But,
yeah. So we're exploring that aspect too, the health and wellness, you know, programs that certain corporations have, and see if that's a need, you know, that we can actually kind of maybe fill. Because like I said, this would be geared towards those people looking to do the couch to 5K, maybe get off, you know, because these are non-intimidating races. You'll run, you know, 5 miles, or you'll bike 10 or 15 miles, but you won't really know that you did that. You don't really know that.
Because there's an objective there. You're not just
and you're stopping.
One foot in front of the other.
Exactly. Yeah. You're stopping in between, and you have teamwork, and people are talking, where it's instead of just, oh, I got my earbuds in, and I'm just taking off and running till they tell me to stop, till I hit that finish line.
Yeah. How are you marketing this thing? And is that, let me reframe that. I'm a marketing person, so I always assume that's everybody's biggest challenge is how do you get the word out about this thing? What is your biggest challenge when you're putting this together, and you've clearly gotten some sort of formula to where you feel comfortable hosting, what'd you say, 17 events just with one, with the Urban Bike Adventure this year?
Yep.
So you're clearly doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the hardest thing for you to overcome at this point to really step on the gas?
Yeah, I mean, marketing is hard because we are an events company, you know, a service company. You know, we have to get those eyeballs on. You know, we feel like we have a great product now that people, you know, once they do it, they keep coming back to do it. But just trying to make sure that they know to do it. So For us, marketing is a lot of grassroots. We're calling local shops, local bike shops, running clubs, biking clubs, and really just trying to get them to, you know, spread the word. You know, maybe we'll give their whole club like a deal, or, you know, send them some swag, just anything we can do there.
How many people are in a local? Let's pick Indianapolis. They have bicycle clubs. How many people does that represent?
They range from, you know, maybe 50 to a few hundred.
But there are several of them?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So like in a place like Indianapolis, they'll have like, you know, three or four dozen at least biking clubs alone that that would be worth pursuing.
There is no lack of participants.
No.
In a city that size, I guess. Maybe if you go to, I don't know, Athens, Ohio.
Yeah, it might be
a little more difficult.
Yep.
Why did I pull Athens out of
I don't even know where Athens, Ohio is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's where Ohio University is.
Oh, okay.
Great Halloween party every year.
The Bobcats?
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it might be a little tougher in a city that size, but are you focused at all on those middle to small markets, or is this all a major metropolitan?
No. So we've actually – so that'd be another thing that I've learned from doing these events is, you know, just because it's a huge city where maybe a lot of people bike doesn't mean a lot of people want to do your event.
Oh.
Like take San Francisco, for example. I thought San Francisco was going to kill it. You know, everyone owns a bike in San Francisco, right? Everyone bikes every single day. You know, we opened up registration over there in 2012, and we only had about 15 or 20 teams. And we were just trying to, like, why doesn't anybody want to bike? You know, everyone bikes in San Francisco. Why don't they want to do a fun event? It's because they already... every day, this is kind of what they do. They're avoiding taxi cabs. They're, you know, avoiding the train tracks, and they're going, you know, doing their daily commute.
Well, that's true, but I would also think in a city that size, it would be even tougher to get rides above the noise of all the stuff going on.
Yeah.
'Cause, you know, in San Francisco, there is – if you're bored in San Francisco, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. There's always something going on. So that was another thing as well. And then just a little bit north, Sacramento, we just killed it. It's one of our biggest races every single year. And it's just because everyone there, it's a smaller, you know, second tier kind of city where once a big event comes there, everyone in the city kind of wants to do the event. So we learned from that and just want to start focusing on that. So, you know, Louisville is another really big market for us. Indianapolis is pretty good too. Even though Indianapolis is a really big city, nobody really considers, you know, Indianapolis maybe, you know, one of the top 10 largest, or, you know, maybe even a biking city. Unless you're in from that area, you wouldn't really know that there's great trails like downtown.
Well, I wouldn't know that. And yeah. I've been to Indianapolis plenty, but I would think Louisville's much more rideable on a bicycle than Indianapolis would be.
Yeah.
But that, you know, maybe I'm just not that familiar with it.
Yeah. I mean, they both have great trails and, you know, great infrastructure that's either in place or going to be in place soon, hopefully.
Okay.
And then same thing for the new races that we're launching as well, too. We want to make sure that, you know, certain cities like Cincinnati, Louisville, Lexington, you know, they'll be served when, you know, these people are going to do these races in, like, Chicago or, you know, or maybe even Indianapolis because it's a big city as well, too. But they're traveling to other large cities to do these races because they don't have it. So we're focusing on those markets, and we're seeing a really good return too, because there's a really good tight culture. Like once you know, take Louisville, for example, once you start talking to some of these run clubs or these biking clubs, you know, they kind of know everyone already, and everyone just kind of gets interested in it and wants to talk about it.
It is. This is a small fitness town.
Yeah.
We do a fitness podcast on Louisville.am network. You might be interested in that. It's called Get Fit Louisville.
Oh, nice.
By VO2 Multisport. You got to check that out. A little cross promotion on the network here. The guy that owns VO2 Multisport out in St. Matthews hosts it every week. Well, he and Angie Fenton put it together. And you're a triathlon guy. You'll dig it.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely check that out.
Check that out. And everybody else out there, check it out too.
Yep.
So you got new people coming on to handle a couple of, I guess, administrative sort of thing. So what will that free you up to do? Which is really, you know, for any small business owner, you got to sort of keep those blinders on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the things that you're not good at or the things you don't enjoy doing, you farm those out. So what will this free you up to?
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm just wearing way too many hats. So just the marketing and social media aspect alone will just – you know, time is just the biggest consumer right now of, you know, all of my energy. So being able to have that time and focus on other things, you know, I'm really great. I know what I'm good at. I'm great at the creative things, the logistical things, planning where these events should be, how they kind of should work and flow. So being able to focus on that.
Like actually putting the race together and coming up with the clues and
yep, and then how to get there and, you know, who to contact. You know, I'm great at finding those things out and finding things, but I'm not great at maybe talking to them all the time.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, I don't have time. You know, we're in 17 cities. That's a lot of people to talk to. So, you know, which city do I focus on today instead of having some other people focus on a few of those cities? There we can really get into the cities and hopefully find, you know.
Do you have a local coordinator in each city or something?
Currently not. I mean, we try to, if we can, you know, partner with, you know, a local running shop or, you know, somebody who wants to be kind of the, you know, our liaison for that area. That's our, that usually works really well for us if we can find somebody like that.
Okay. I would think that would become a desired part of your model.
Yeah. That's what we're working towards.
Okay. How has your canvas changed a lot since you started?
Oh yeah, it's been blown apart. Our business model canvas. We had a pretty good idea on our customer segment, but other than that, you know, it's always changed.
You're finding different and better ways of doing things.
Yeah, and we've added a few more customer segments. You know, this corporate thing that we're exploring. So that's another thing too, another hat that I can. You know, that I'm wearing right now that can kind of explore a little more, you know, developing more business ideas that can actually help scale the company a little quicker.
Is there an event planned here in Louisville for this year?
Yep.
So let's plug it. Plug away.
We're going to do, so the Urban Bike Adventure is in September. Okay. And that'll be our fourth year here. Last year we had 250 people participate. So this year we'll probably cap that out at 300. So we're looking to sell out this year. And then the Great American Chase, there hasn't been a date set for that yet, but I believe it's going to be sometime in the springtime. So
Louisville be the inaugural Great American Chase?
Yes, it will be. Yep, so it'll be the very first year.
Get in early on the next big thing, everybody.
Yep, and we actually started a run club because I recently moved here. I had no idea like what anybody does here for fun or anything.
Yeah.
So I created a run club, the Derby City Run Club, which is...
Nobody had come up with that name?
No.
Are you kidding me?
I know, right?
Town?
I'm so excited about it. So that meets every Wednesday at the Sports and Social Club. We run a 5K route, and it's...
And then just put the calories back in.
Yeah, it's they have drink specials and then half price food for us and stuff. So
nice.
It's basically an excuse to exercise, have some dinner and drinks, and then you know, talk with each other. So we've got a couple hundred members there already. So
that's great.
Yeah, I knew if somebody's a fan of food and running, I'm probably going to be a good friend of mine. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
So how do we find you guys online then? DrifterEvents.com?
DrifterEvents.com, which will have the list of our events. Our biggest event right now is the Urban Bike Adventure, so you can go to UrbanBikeAdventure.com.
Okay, I was wondering if that was a separate standalone.
So they're all standalones, but you could find those links on DrifterEvents.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, best of luck to you, man. Thanks. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. So I hope you decide, of course, to lay some roots down in Louisville and you know, make this headquarters for the company.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's actually, so we are a Kentucky LLC. So we are officially a Louisville company. Yep.
Okay.
So
you like it well enough here to stick around, you think?
Yeah, it's awesome. People think I'm a little crazy for moving from Tampa, but.
You're not.
It's.
I lived in Fort Myers for 4 years.
Yeah, then
Florida's not.
If you understand the sprawl of Florida where you can't get from neighborhood to neighborhood without driving a half hour.
There's no culture down there. There's no history. There's, you know, it's a fun place to go hang out for a week or two.
It is.
And there's sunshine and all of that stuff. It's great. But there's nothing there to keep you there.
Yep. And then, I mean, this has just been, like, wonderful. I mean, everyone here wants to either talk to you about it or they want to help you in your company or just help you personally. Everyone's just really nice.
Throw you on a podcast, whatever, man.
Exactly.
Whatever. That's a good way to spend your day.
I'm big time now.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.